Veritas Academy was chosen by Niche as the number one Christian and private school in Northern Virginia and third in the state of Virginia. Have coffee with the headmaster every Tuesday morning. Schedule your visit now. VeritasAcademyDC.com. VeritasAcademyDC.com.
Now, on News Talk 105.9 WMAL.
O'Connor and Company.
Let's just begin by saying that Karine Jean-Pierre, the new press secretary for the White House, is transcendently brilliant. And quite possibly, I don't know how anyone can do this job after her. She's broken the mold.
Oh.
She's astounding.
She is astonishing.
She's amazing.
Oh, the superlatives.
Yeah, I can't say enough about her. You won't hear any criticism in this camp. No.
No.
I don't know if you heard it. She's the first black lesbian woman of color to do that role as well.
Just a few times yesterday.
Yeah. Another reason why you'll hear no criticisms over here. Oh, God forbid she wear a brown outfit one day. Coming up at 5:35, Krista Gall out of Philly, because there's a big primary up in Pennsylvania today. 7:05, Rob Collins, founder of Coin, a conservative credit card, in case you're sick of giving your money and interest payments to woke banks. 7:35, Hans von Spakovsky, formerly of the Justice Department, talk about that Justice Department racial program in Fairfax schools that we talked about yesterday with Stacey Langton. At 8:05, Caroline Patricus, reporter at 7 News, because, well, Amber Heard took the stand yesterday. Very dramatic day in the Johnny Depp trial. And at 8:35, Maureen Fox, and this is a parent out in Montgomery County Public Schools, where apparently children at one elementary school were all sent home, fifth graders all sent home if they weren't vaccinated.
Whoa.
I don't think they can do that.
No.
But they did. We'll talk about that coming up as well. That's Julie Gunlock you hear commenting on my brilliance. That's actually in the contract.
What a nice intro for you.
Julie begins here and she says, so what exactly is my role? Well, it's to comment on my brilliance. And laugh at my stupid humor. And then whatever else you can fit in there.
Tough job.
Like Karine Jean-Pierre's brilliance.
Wow, she is a gift.
Astounding. We'll get to that a little later. But let's turn to Fairfax High School. We talked yesterday with Stacey Langton about the Justice Department coming in yesterday and today for a program that they're coordinating, that they're implementing, that basically, you know, furthers the anti-racism, critical race theory, Ibram X. Kendi kind of focus on race. And parents are excluded from participating or observing or auditing or even having any sort of transparent understanding of what this program is. They got that going for them. But then it's like today they decided to the race baiters at Fairfax Public Schools. I was going to call them gender baiters,
yeah.
Like race baiters, but that could come out wrong.
Right.
Yeah, especially if they're masters of gender baiting.
Oh, dear.
So they said, no, all you anti-racists, hold my beer. I've got something else for you. Fairfax High School is now contemplating a new plan where kids will be suspended for misgendering their classmates.
You mean what used to be called using proper English, the King's English.
Yeah, grammar. Proper grammar.
Yes.
Like calling an individual by a singular pronoun rather than a plural pronoun.
Right.
Or for that matter, well, I love the people saying, well, you don't use the wrong pronoun when referring to somebody. No, they're literally using the right pronoun.
Yes.
They are literally calling somebody with male genitalia he.
Yes.
And they will be suspended for telling the truth. In Fairfax High School, here's how the Washington Post writes it up. Fairfax County Public Schools Student Rights and Responsibilities Handbook. By the way, that's my other – the Orwellian language. These are students' rights and responsibilities. Ugh. It's your responsibility to lie. It's going to be voted on later this month. Includes its updated version rules that make, quote, malicious dead naming and malicious misgendering of classmates a level 4 offense.
Level 4?
Which allows for a suspension up to 5 days if frequency and intensity are present, according to page 19 of the document. Quote, using slurs based upon the actual or perceived gender identity is forbidden under the rules of conduct, which includes but is not limited to malicious dead naming or malicious misgendering. All right, 888-630-9625, 888-630-WML. You're a parent and your child gets suspended for calling a he, and a she, or a he or a he or a she instead of a they or a them or a z.
Well,
or a zen.
Well, that's the thing. It's not just they or them. People are making up all sorts of pronouns.
Literally making up.
Making up.
Like just inventing.
Yeah.
And then if you don't come along, you'll be suspended.
That's right. In fact, this morning I would like you to refer to me as... No, I'm kidding. This is too confusing.
Oh, I got a few things I'd like to refer to you as. All right. So what do you do, parents, when your child comes home with that note from the teacher? 888-630-9625. 888-630-WMA. All right, let me just pause here before we get too far into it. Because the headlines say, you know, kids might be suspended for misgendering. Kids might be suspended for using the, it does make me laugh, the wrong pronoun, when in fact is literally the right pronoun. There is one word here that is jumping out at me, and that's malicious. You know, the malicious suggests that a kid does it over and over and over again to hurt someone's feelings, to actually, you know, so let's be real. A child who is going through some sort of gender dysphoria or gender confusion or even attempting to go through a gender reassignment obviously is going through a lot in their lives and probably have a lot going on. And I don't know if and I think we can concede that children can be cruel, horrible human beings each other. Right.
Yeah.
So I'm not in support of anybody going out of their way to hurt a child's feelings. And if they find out using this pronoun hurts their feelings, they probably shouldn't do it. They also don't have to go along with the program and say, oh, okay, then I'll go ahead and lie and call you something you're not. Probably the best thing to do is not call that person anything and just move on and not engage with them if they're that fragile and if they're going. And I don't mean that in a condescending way. They're literally going through stuff that is traumatic for them, all right? So traumatic that they want to switch their gender. I can't even imagine being in that place of what they're going through, all right? I don't want to set that aside for a minute. The school system should stay the heck out of this because they're asking kids to lie, and that's wrong. And I don't like them being responsible or in charge of determining what's malicious and what isn't.
Okay, but they're asking us all to sort of seed this insanity, right? And it's important. We all have to pretend that Joey's a pony. Right. It's this whole thing. Like, we all have to, like, it's this, let's all join in and agree that Joey is a tree today. Right.
Yeah.
And this sort of mass sort of, like, pretending is not healthy.
I agree.
And Larry, I will tell you,
yes,
this is a serious problem. I have been told by friends who, you know, even a couple years ago, would never have dreamed of this happening. And you have 11-year-olds. I have a friend whose child goes to a particular school, and it's really unbelievable how many young girls, and again, it's,
yes,
a lot of young women who suddenly decide and it's all very trendy, and they've all announced to their parents that they're non-binary. This is not just it won't be one kid in the class. It is literally groups of girls are doing this.
Don't misunderstand me. I agree.
Oh, I know. I know you think it's serious, but
I'm
telling you,
serious.
This is a minefield that we're asking these kids to walk through.
I agree. The school system should stay out of this. It's wrong. And we should not be, you know, it shouldn't be demanded upon us that we all go along with whatever mental illness is at stake here. Let me use your analogy here. Here's what I'm saying. If Jimmy says I'm a pony and Jimmy wants to be referred to as a pony, a kid should not be suspended for not calling Jimmy a pony. But I also don't want all the kids in the class to surround Jimmy on the playground and chant, you're not a pony, you're not a pony.
And that's bullying.
That's the malicious part.
I don't want kids surrounding my kid and calling him stupid.
Chanting anything.
There's classic bullying, and we know what that is.
Right, and you don't need a new rule for that.
We don't need new rules for all this. This is like, you know, this is the same thing. What this handbook does, is it is a way to punish kids who, you know, particularly, you know, grew up in conservative families or religious, and it gives these schools a tool to further this agenda. We know exactly what this is.
You're right. Let's expand on this a little more because we'll paint out we've done extreme sort of ridiculous scenarios to sort of illustrate the point here shouldn't be done. We're going to illustrate a very real scenario that the school system will absolutely suspend your child for, and you'll know exactly why this thing should not pass on May 26th. It's Fairfax County Schools. They want to suspend kids for so-called misgendering their peers, and we'll lay it out a little bit further in a moment. But first, it's 5...
The latest news and information sent straight to your inbox with the WMAL newsletter.
Register today at WMAL.com/email.
So Andrew shows up one day in class and decides that Andrew wants to be called Alexandra, let's say. And Andrew is no longer a dude. Andrew's a chick. And he demands that all of his fellow second graders call him by this new name, Alexandra, and refer to them as she. And one of the kids doesn't, because he was raised in a way to tell the truth and to say, no, a boy is a boy and a girl is a girl, and a boy can't just decide to be a girl. And you may think this about yourself, but I don't have to go along with it. And so this little boy continues to call Andrew Andrew, which is dead naming, and continues to refer to Andrew in the third person as a he. And the teacher jumps in and says, no, 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 you can't do that. This isn't Andrew anymore. This is Alexandra. And Alexandra is a girl. And the little boy, whose parents say, no, we don't do that in our household, this little boy is going to continue doing what his parents say. And now that little boy is going to be suspended, because the teacher is going to decide, well, we corrected him once and he kept doing it, so now we're going to have to suspend this child because of malicious dead naming and malicious misgendering. Because, and malicious will be interpreted as, hey, you've been told once. If you do it again, now you're doing it on purpose, and now we're going to suspend you. That's not bullying, by the way. This child will be suspended, and that is wrong, and that's why this has to end.
We also have to ask, why are they doing this? Why? And the reason is there is an effort out there by these activists to normalize this behavior, that to normalize this gender fluidity, to normalize non-binary sexual thinking, that, you know, it's just anybody can choose, you can choose whatever you want to be. I mean, this is really an effort. We've known for years now that teachers, many teachers, not all teachers, many teachers put activism above teaching.
Yes.
And this is the, you get them young. We've seen that they're determined to get this content in as quickly as possible, as young, as early as possible in a child's education. And this is the kind of stuff, normalizing this fluidity. Oh, you know, Johnny one year decides he's going to identify this way, another year this way, and we all have to go along with it. We all have to just be sort of crazy with these ideas, just like, you know. And again, I do think that there are children who have issues, but we don't all have to go along with this kind of mental illness.
In fact,
is a mental illness in many cases.
Some children and their parents, I want to keep emphasizing that some children are going to be raised by their parents in a way that conflicts with the woke gender agenda of Fairfax County Public Schools. And these kids will be punished because they're doing what their parents have raised them to do. And that's when the school system needs to get out of the way of a parent raising their child on issues.
You mentioned this. I'm so glad you mentioned these parents will raise their children. Not only are many teachers becoming activists, parents themselves are becoming activists. And again, thanks to Libs of TikTok and some other websites, we are seeing that parents are actually putting these ideas in their children's heads, right? It really is creepy when you see these mothers sort of talking to their children in these terms that kind of introduce gender fluidity.
Yeah.
It's very Munchausen by proxy, where they're like sort of instilling something so that then the mother can get attention. There are tons of parents out there who profit off of putting their children up and saying, look, my child is transgender or dealing with these issues.
And you must all go along with
it. Go to my Instagram page.
That's right. And then they end up with a feature on the Today Show. And there's a documentary. There's a new series made about the drag kids in puberty.
What they did to that child, Jazz, on TLC or whatever, channel it was.
This is happening right here in our backyard. It's Fairfax High School that's not proposing it. It's already been implemented in other school systems. We'll tell you the results, as we now have three boys in Wisconsin who are facing suspension because they did not go along with the new pronouns of their classmates. And also, Jeff and Frederick wants to chime in. All that on this Tuesday morning, coming up in a moment. It's 5:21. And in Fairfax, it's the entire Fairfax public school system.
This is huge.
The story sort of centers around Fairfax High School. They're planning on implementing a policy that will suspend children for using the wrong pronoun, what they call malicious misgendering or malicious dead naming. You know, Jane decides that Jane's now Jack. So if you still call Jane Jane, that's dead naming and you'll be suspended. Jeff in Frederick. Hey, Jeff, you're up on O'Connor and Company. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Larry. Good morning, Julie. My thoughts were the malicious term. That could be very broad in the instance where, let's say, he or she really doesn't know about this person who identifies as they or them, and in passing or whatever, you know, says something that they or them felt offended and just absolutely melts down, throws, you know, the biggest tantrum in the world. And that could be determined or viewed as malicious.
Right.
By the reaction of they or them.
Great point. It hurt their feelings, therefore it had to be malicious because it caused harm.
Absolutely. I'm emotional and a little spirited about this thing, but it's just so also nauseating. Yep. I can't, you know.
Jeff, you should be spirited about it. I appreciate the call. This is basically, let's be clear, Fairfax County Public Schools wants to institute a policy that will suspend children for telling the truth. That's it?
Yeah.
For being factual, accurate, truthful, and promoting good grammar. For that, you will be suspended.
I'm curious, Larry, did you see, and I read a little bit about this, but did you see anything? Does this apply just to high school students, or is it throughout all of? Because that is one thing that's interesting to me. In order to comply, you have to understand sort of this gender theory idea, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which means, in order to, if it is also applied in elementary school, it means all of these things need to be introduced.
The article I'm reading does not make a distinction between the secondary and elementary,
and yet another way to introduce these.
Now on News Talk 105.9 WMAL,
O'Connor and Company.
Dang, it's already busy here. We're going to revisit that story about Fairfax County Public Schools wanting to suspend children for using the wrong pronoun. No, wait, I'm sorry, using the correct pronouns.
Yes.
That's the Orwellian nature of their rules. Don't use the wrong pronoun. Wait, but he's a dude. We'll get into that a little later. 705 Rob Collins from Coin, the first conservative credit card. Why give your money to the woke banks? Why indeed? 735 Hans von Spakovsky, formerly the Justice Department, talk about that racial justice program implemented in the Fairfax County schools from the DOJ. 805 Carolyn Patricas, she's with Channel 7, of course, and she is covering every inch of our local celebrity trial, Johnny Depp and Amber Heard. 835 Maureen Fox, parent out of Montgomery County, where apparently all the fifth graders in Sherwood Elementary School were sent home for not being vaccinated, which I don't think they're allowed to do. So we'll get into that with that mom. And we got another mom with us, Julie Gunlock, all morning. Hey, Jules.
Good morning.
Joining us, friend. This is always fraught with danger. I always get nervous about this. You know, bring on Christigal. Now, I don't know why is that even funny?
I can't wait.
See, you're already feeding his ego.
I'm excited to
see
this
dynamic. He says things. Here's the thing about Chris. He's a great morning show host, really. Love him. God love him. He wakes up everyone in Philadelphia on a daily basis, and he'll say something in a certain cadence that's just objectively not funny. But because he says it, see, there you go. There you go laughing. And it just feeds his ego. His head gets big, and he's going to be insufferable today because all eyes of the nation are on the Pennsylvania primary, especially for the Senate race, hotly contested Senate race. So he's going to be a go-to pundit all across the media. All right, Chris, good morning. So glad to have you. Really, I'm really,
my
really happy.
My approved pronouns are Hans or Von. Hans or Von. Those
See,
are my
there you
approved
go.
Pronouns.
See, like now everyone's laughing. And there's this. And why? Explain why that's funny. Julie,
it's more your face right now.
See,
that's funny.
Yeah. Oh, great!
Laugh I am at my in
face.
Studio, you know.
Don't maliciously misgender me, Gunlock. Chris, morning.
Julie, be very careful around that fella.
That's all I'm saying.
I appreciate that. I hope you get representation.
Yeah. Chris, I'm not understating the case. Seriously, this is probably the most hotly contested Senate primary race in the nation, and we now have this third candidate emerging. It seemed like it was between this establishment dude, what's his name, McCormick or McNichol or Mc? You tell me, McFadden.
Christy McNichol. It's the brother.
Very excited. Wow.
Dave McNichol.
Yeah. Well, we have Amber Heard down here, so. And then Dr. Oz. But now you've got this third candidate. I mean, this really is a bit of a toss up, is it not?
I was telling Heather, your extraordinary executive producer, that if you could take each one of these three candidates, in my opinion, and take the best part of each one of them, you'd have a supernova of a candidate.
Yeah.
Each one of them, you know, this is always the case. No one's, of course, going to be perfect. Got the big guy that just came through last night. We got the big guy coming on the show this morning to stump one last pitch to Pennsylvanians for his guy, Dr. Oz. Donald Trump will be with me this morning.
Oh, wow.
What's very, very interesting is, now again, this is anecdotal. It's not a poll, but my listeners, largely, the more Trump and Trump surrogates continue to bash and bash and bash the rising Kathy Barnett in favor of Dr. Oz, my audience seems to be resisting that a lot.
Interesting.
And their support, this is anecdotal, seems to be hardening for Barnett, which is a fascinating dynamic.
All right, so let me lay this out. You got Dr. Oz, who, of course, TV celebrity and has been endorsed by Donald Trump. You got this Dave McCormick, who's a military veteran. I think he's a Bronze Star recipient, CEO. He's definitely sort of the establishment guy. And then you got Kathy Barnett, who she's an African-American woman. She just absolutely blew everybody away at this debate, though. And that really has sort of elevated her now within striking distance. This is a remarkable sort of three-way choice for people. The Trump guy, the establishment guy, and then sort of the grassroots favorite.
Well, what's so phenomenal about Kathy Barnett is, you know, my audience has known her for a while. She ran for Congress unsuccessfully during the Trump re-election of 2020. And people will say, well, she lost her congressional race by 16 points. True. And Trump lost it by 10 points worse than that in the same district she was running. So not exactly, I think, a fair comparison. But here's what's fascinating. Had it not been for the attention Dr. Oz brought to this race, and he just did, everybody tuned in to these national debates in a Senate primary that normally would have been snoozers, yawners. Nobody but Pennsylvanians would have paid attention. But Oz's fame is what everybody wanted to watch him on the debate stage. And when that happened, guess who showed up? Big. Kathy Barnett. Hmm. And the nation sat up and went, who is this lady? It's really impressive and clearly spoken and very, very passionate conservative. And she looks different than the white dudes on stage. Hey, let's give her a shot. And so she starts going on the national shows. Her profile starts to explode at just the right time. And now all of a sudden, yeah, she's, according to the Fox News voters who are extremely interested poll, she leads it.
Wow.
But here's the wild card. The wild card is there's still double-digit undecideds floating around out there. So any one of these three could win today. Literally any one of them could have a path.
There's more to discuss here, especially sort of the knives are out for Kathy Barnett. And you can tell that she's, you know, getting people's attention because, boy, are they attacking her about a lot of different things. Can you stick with us for one more segment? We can sort of lay this out and you can give us your prediction.
Proper pronouns, please.
Yeah, we will do that with Christopher Stegall. Christopher. Although, who knows? Well, by the time we're back here, could be Christine. Could be Christina.
Yeah.
Could be Zis.
We're ready.
Zis de Gaulle. More Chris de Gaulle in a moment. It's 5:40. So Connor and company, Larry O'Connor with Julie Gunlock, and we're talking about the big Pennsylvania Senate primary that takes place today for the Republicans and the Democrats. Chris de Gaulle, morning man out of Philadelphia on The Answer. He joins us to break this down. Any given year, any normal year, any time pre-Trump, Chris de Gaulle, Dave McCormick would be right out of central casting. He looks the part. He's got the resume, a former hedge fund CEO, Army veteran, Army Ranger, as we've discussed. But he's sort of getting lost in the shuffle here with the Trump-endorsed Dr. Oz and now this rising star Kathy Barnett. Is there any chance Dave McCormick, with his sort of resume and establishment cred, sort of threads the needle here and ekes out a victory?
I think there's a 100% chance he could. I wouldn't bet against him at all, and here's why. Because voters are so nervous. The attacks that have been effectively lobbed at Kathy Barnett over the last really 3 or 4 days have been enough to shake, I think, people who might consider her but are unsure. Now, how much substance is there to them? Kathy's been a guest on my show twice, and we've spent, all told, I think an hour with her. And we've asked her about every single question that's been thrown at her. She's had an answer for them. Whether, you know, voters find them satisfactory or not, I don't know. But the interesting thing about McCormick and Oz is they were the only games in the state for months. And so they were spending something like $60, $70 million in ads, just firing at one another, defining one another. And I think you'd have to give the edge to McCormick in defining Oz as an outsider, as a carpetbagger. You know, McCormick continues to run as a seventh-generation Pennsylvanian, you know, a guy of service, like you said, Army Ranger, Bronze Star. It's the hedge fund thing, though, that's not the net plus. You know, his investments, his business dealings in China. Super, super rich guys firing shots at one another for months and months and months, and then all of a sudden this very little moneyed, very little organization, Kathy Barnett, comes surging at the 11th hour. And it's literally a statistical tie. Plus or minus 4 points, they are literally all three tied with, last poll I saw, 20% undecided. And of the supporters they have, a lot of the support is soft, meaning they could change their vote. So any one of these three could easily pull it out today. Any one of them.
You know, Kathy Barnett, you said, you know, sort of was a latecomer to the race. I'm assuming that Trump made his endorsement of Oz before she entered. Is that correct?
No.
Okay.
She has been in the race for 13 months. Okay. She just hasn't gotten any attention until the last month.
Is there any question why Trump didn't consider? She seems to be more Trumpian in her policies, or at least, you know, certainly, I think of Oz as exactly Trumpian. But what was the thought behind Trump's endorsement of Oz? Is it because he was an established celebrity and you know would get more attention? It was just the safe bet. What was the thought there?
There have been a lot of people speculating as to why, and there was a lot of, you know, you had to pick a lot of jaws up off the floor when he did it.
Mm.
Here's an interesting little wrinkle, by the way, I'll just throw in there. He's endorsed a guy called Doug Mastriano for governor. We have a governor's race today, too, a primary. He's endorsed a guy called Doug Mastriano, Trump has. Who does Doug Mastriano pick for today's Senate race? Who do you guess?
Kathy Barnett.
Kathy Barnett.
Yeah, because she's got the...
He does not like... I mean, Trump endorses Doug Mastriano for governor today, and Doug will openly tell you he hates that he picked Oz for Senate, which is hilarious. So that's the state of things in Pennsylvania. But, yes, I think they're friends. They're Florida friends. We're told Melania Trump and Oz's wife are friends. He's a famous guy. I think Trump wants to run. I think he needs Pennsylvania. I think he thinks Oz is an asset. That's what I think.
We just came off of a pretty spirited primary in Virginia, and the Republican ended up winning with Glenn Youngkin, and he happened to sort of thread the needle on a lot of these things. But I'll tell you, there were a lot of people suspicious at the time, Chris DeGaulle, but Glenn Youngkin, again, multimillionaire, head of a hedge fund, very similar to McCormick. And he ended up, you know, winning in just the right way. And I think that the Virginians who ended up going his way in the primary at the time, they made the one final consideration, which is who's got the best chance of beating Terry McAuliffe? Who's got the best chance of winning? And you tell me about Pennsylvania voters. Are they going to go in that direction? And I guess the question to you then is, who would be the answer? Who, when you look at who has the best chance of beating the Democrat?
I've been very, very careful not to go in on this thing. I've threaded this needle all season long, and you're not going to break me today.
No one's listening,
Connor.
Chris. Don't worry.
No, here's the deal. Oh, wait a minute. That doesn't work out for you. Don't you have a contract coming up?
I mean, nobody from Pennsylvania is listening.
Oh, right. I could see cynically why Dr. Oz makes total sense. He's famous. People know him. And sometimes people are that dumb. And they go, hey, I know that guy. I'll vote for him. I like his show. I mean, there are people that do that. That's true. I can see people saying, now there's Dave McCormick, an all-American guy. I mean, there's no finer American story. You know, athlete, seventh-generation Pennsylvanian, ag guy, Army Ranger, Bronze Star, you know, business guy. But then Kathy resonates with people. Not only has she had service in the reserves, but she's a passionate grassroots suburban mom and conservative. She also happens to be Black. And that's not a small matter for conservatives who I think are looking for something different and sort of an edge and a way to communicate to communities that conservatives don't often reach. Afraid to say so. She's not afraid to say so.
I hear people saying, you know, hearing exactly what you just said about Kathy Barnett and saying, yeah, and remember what happened in 2010 with Christine O'Donnell and with, you know, Aiken in Missouri and with, you know, on and on and on. Does she sort of have that? It feels like she might have that sort of thing going on.
I don't think she's that clumsy. And I think those examples were clumsy. I don't think she's a clumsy person. Is it fair to say She has not been battle tested in the sense that tens of millions of dollars have been directed at only her, dredging up research on only her. She's just experienced that in the last 72 hours.
Right.
So is there stuff about her we don't know? I'm sure.
Man.
Is there stuff that she's not ready for, doesn't see coming yet? I'll bet. Does that mean she can't win this fall? I'm not prepared to say that.
All right. It's going to be a big day for Chris and really all of us watching this Pennsylvania race. If you want to hear Donald Trump on his program, catch the podcast as soon as we get off the air today at 9. Chris, have
at 8:20 this morning.
Dump that.
I don't know who you're
dump
talking
that.
To.
I'm kidding. Don't dump. Never dump Chris DeGaul. Thanks, Chris. Have fun today.
Great to talk to you both. See you, Julie.
Thanks, Chris.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.